Okay. Happy to see everyone. It's very Zman of Simcha. The Rambam says that the Rambam actually calls these days Yimei Simcha, which is very interesting, where the Makar of the Rambam is. The Gemara says that it's Yimei Howl Behoda, days of thank you to Hashem and praise of Hashem. But the Rambam says Yimei Simcha, so we have to make sure to be happy. We have to have a Simcha. It's true, there's no Chi of Seuda on these days, and it's hard to be happy without food, but everybody is making Seudas. There's always Seudas going on, and the Poskim say that if you have a Seuda, L'Shem Chanukah, he sings Miris and Tishbachas, and it's a Seuda of a Yontif. So it's Yimei Simcha. It's time that we have to think about the Hashkach of Hashem, Hashem's involvement in our lives, which very much has to do with what we've been talking about in the Shmuz with Hakaras HaTov. And hopefully I'll find time over Hanukkah to give a Shmuz more about this concept of Hodah. We quoted a Ramban in Parshas Bo'i that the tachlis of all of our lives is to give Hodah to Hashem, and it needs to be developed further. But the days are officially called Yimei Hallel v'Hodah. Hallel is a no-brainer. If you want to know where Hallel is in the Yontif, it's a no-brainer, right? It's Hallel, right? We say Hallel Shalim, the whole Hanukkah, and that is the Hallel of the day. But what's the Hodah? Hodah means thank you. Where is the official Hodah in Hanukkah? You can call out today, anyone who wants to. Call out, why are these called Yimei Hodah? What makes them Yimei Hodah? What's that? Okay, so you're saying just the fact that we should be thankful. But if I ask you in the day, where Chazal were Mesakin Hodah? Meaning Hallel's officially, who said Alanisim? Alanisim. So one Shitas Rashi is that Alanisim makes this Yimei Hodah. You know what's fascinating, the difficulty about that? Normally, if something's so important to the day, it's usually ma'akev. If someone forgets Al Anisim in Shemona Esrei, do they have to repeat Shemona Esrei? No, which is fascinating, because if it's such a central part of the day, so you would think that it should get at least the status of like Yala V'Yavo, that when you forget, you repeat. So the Rambam Shita and others are that actually the lighting of the Neros is the Hodah, which is very interesting. You do a demonstration of an act, a Maisa Mitzvah, to commemorate the miracle. And Haneris Halalu, people think it's just, Haneris Halalu is actually a Mesechus Sofrim. It's from Chazal. And it could be that when you say Haneris Halalu, after you light the Neros, you're saying a Hodah that's part of the day. You're thanking Hashem for all the miracles. So if we to study Al Anisim, at least, we'll really try to understand the day of Hanukkah, the Yom of Hanukkah. There's a fundamental difference. This is fascinating. Something I always like to point out, and I like to even, when I can speak to Talmidei Chacham about this fascinating idea, I do too, because it's something that people have not thought of, and it's fascinating. If you look at, we all have Sidurim in front of us, right? So if you look at the size of Al Anisim for Purim and Hanukkah, right? In your classic sitter, you will notice, you know, that the difference in size. I mean, Al Anisim for Hanukkah is gigantic compared to this little Al Anisim for Purim, right? What's pshat? Isn't that interesting? I mean, it almost looks like, I don't know the exact size, I would say it's maybe three times the size. So the truth is that the Al Anisim of Purim is Psukim. It's Psukim. Shlomo, you were saying this. The Psukim in Al Anisim for Purim are from the Megillah. You don't really need the Al Anisim for Purim. Why? Purim, you have the whole Megillah. The Megillah tells you the entire story of Purim. So when we sit in the shul twice and we hear the whole Megillah, we know exactly what the day is. And what did the Chazal call the Megillah. Fascinating. The Gemara says, Kriyasa Zuhilula, that reading the Megillah on Purim is like saying hallel, because it's an expression of thanks by saying over the story. So on Purim, the Alei Nisim is not as important. It's just a recap of what we're doing when we read the Megillah. But on Hanukkah, and this is based, what I'm saying is based on the Rebar Yakar from the big Rishonim on the Siddur, the Rebar Yakar. On Hanukkah, we have no story of Hanukkah. If somebody says, let's learn the story of Hanukkah, where do you go? What do you do? There's no book. It's after the end of Tanakh, right? All the last, the is a big chiddush that we have a Sefer Tanakh called Esther. Esther was written at which period of time? I mean, obviously the Purim story, but when was the Purim story actually?
Between
Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, between the first Beis Hamikdash and the second, which means Esther was written in Gullus. It was like the last hurrah for Sifrei Tanakh. It was the last of the Bali Ruach HaKodesh and Nevi'im. Mordechai was part of Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, and that was it for Tanakh. No more Tanakh. Now, in Hanukkah, we're going later. We're already in Bayis Sheni. Bayis Sheni was not such a glorious period in history. Right? This is called Fundamentals. I named this Friday's year for myself. Fundamentals. So I'm trying to give also just important historical context. So the historical context over here is we're now in Bayis Sheni. We're under Persian rule and then eventually Greek rule. It's very different type of Beis HaMikdash. There wasn't even an emblem of the Persian Empire on the Beis HaMikdash. Imagine not just having an American flag in a shul, like to show solidarity, but imagine that actually embedded on the Shar Shushan, there was an emblem of Shushan. It shows that we weren't in control. We had our Beis HaMikdash, but we were missing a lot. There was no Shechina on the level of the Bayis Rishon. The miracles were not there. And now we're in Bayis Sheni, and we're under Greek rule. The Jerusalem was, Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, was under the rule of the Greeks. And we think of the War of Hanukkah kind of like, you know, people think it's like, just like there was the Six-Day War and boom, it's over. How long do we think the Hanukkah, the war with the Greeks was? This is a frightening thing. 22 years. It was a 22-year war. The third year of the war, we got back the Beis HaMikdash. But we were still in war. Imagine, this is like a very difficult period in Jewish history. They had taken over the Beis HaMikdash, and we restored our rule over the Beis HaMikdash, but we were still very much under Hellenistic influence. In fact, the Chashmonaim didn't have such a glorious end. There was a lot of influence of the Greeks even later, which is kind of a sad end to the story of Hanukkah. But if we can think about it, we're in a totally different period of history where there's no Sefer Tanakh anymore. There's no story. So the only story we have for Hanukkah is Al HaNisim. Al HaNisim is a storyline for us. So when we say Al HaNisim, it's our opportunity to go over the story. So let's try a little bit just to go over it. Just Pashup Shad, it helps. Just to whoever wants to get a sitter or who has a sitter, it's Kedai. We'll just go through the Al HaNisim. First of all, as we were coming in, I noticed something fascinating, which I want to research further. There's something very difficult in the first part of the Al HaNisim, which I heard many years ago was difficult. Actually, I heard this from Rav Shmuel Baron. Rav Shmuel Baron is the Rosh Yeshiva of Imre Bina, but I knew him years ago. He was in my house, and he was at a Sheva Brachas, and he said this. I was in a kollel where we had a vod with Rav Shmuel Baron many, many years ago. This goes back... I always wanted to say this. I'm dating myself. I always wanted to be the guy. I'm dating myself. Right? So I'm dating myself. How many years ago? It's probably maybe 17 years ago. You never know. Maybe that far back. Anyway, So Shmuel Baron asked the following question. I'm not going to say his answer, partially because I don't remember it. But, no, I do remember it, actually. But I'm still not going to get into it. It says, Ala nisim val purkan val gvuris val chus val milchamos. We thank Hashem for the Nisim, the Purkan, the salvation, the power, the chuas, you know, taking us out of the bind. Al milchamos. We thank Him for the war itself. It's a funny thing to say, meaning the war is not what you thank someone for. You thank Hashem for saving you from the war. But if you take this literally, and we take things seriously, so it sounds like we thank Hashem for the war itself. That is a very difficult thing. I think what Rosh Shmuel Baron said, and this is a long time ago, so you'll excuse me if I don't get it right, but I think what he was saying was, you also have to thank Hashem for the process. A lot of times when you go through something in life, I can tell you some of the most difficult things that I went through, I would never trade in. After making it through, I felt like there was so much to be gained from having gone through it. And a lot of times the process itself is cherished. There's an al hamilchamos. Over here, Klal Yisrael fights for what matters. When in your life do you get to say, Mila Hashem Eloi, who is with Hashem? And to really be moser nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like was done in the story of Hanukkah and in the story of, in the Purim story on its level, where Klal Yisrael came together to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's a praise of milchama, right? Interesting point. However, I just noticed as we were coming in, I brought in my sefer, the Tefillah L'Moshe. This was written by Rav Aaron Lupiansky, who became even more well known now. He wrote a book called The Ben Torah for Life for going into the working force. This is a Shita Mekubetzes on davening. It's a masterpiece. He basically just put together all the Rishonim on davening. And sometimes when I look through this, I see there were different girsas that the Rishonim had. And I'm looking over here, and I noticed that in the Abu Draham, who's one of the formidable Perushim on the Siddur, he says, he doesn't say Al HaMilchamos, he says Al HaNechamos. Al HaNechamos, which is strikingly similar words, but it's a totally different point. Ala nechamos. What are nechamos? A nechama is when somebody has a tsar, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of them and comforts them in their tsar. So it could be that there's another girsa over here of al hanechamos. What you say is al nisim, al purkan, al gjus, al gvurus, val chus, val hanechamos. A nechama is also considered a change of direction. My Rabbi Rav Moshe Shapiro Zatzal said, Vayinochem is when a person goes from one direction and changes to another. Vayinochem derech Eretz Plishtim, when Klal Yisrael changed their direction from going one way in the Midbar to another, it's called Vayinochem. And also when things change directions, when there's a Hatzalah, things are supposed to be going one way, and boom, they go the other way. So that's beautiful. Ala Nechamos. I'm not telling you to change anything in your davening. Everything that we have in our Siddur is a legitimate Nusach, but it's fascinating to note that there was another Nusach over here, Al HaNechamos. Okay, so now what we're essentially going to do is we're going to read through the Al HaNisim, and we're just essentially going over the story of Hanukkah. If we would read, there is one book that has the chronicle of Hanukkah. Does anyone know which book this is? This is not a book of Tanakh or a book of Kodesh. Rambam. What's that? Rambam. Rambam? So you're a man after my own heart. The Rambam, it's true, the Rambam does record the story, however, he's Kodesh. I'm looking for a secular source. Gersh, it's hard to have you quote a secular source, you're such a holy Jew. But is there anyone who knows of something that's officially secular? Josephus, thank you, Yaakov, Yosipon. Josephus is actually an accepted history book by the Rishonim. It's quoted by Rashi. It's fascinating because it's a secular book. Josephus was on our team, and he moved to the side of the Greeks, and he wrote a chronicle of what was going on at the time, and it was accepted by the Rishonim as a valid source of history to some extent, but nothing Kodesh. Alla Nisim is our story of how we're supposed to understand Hanukkah properly. This is the Kedusha. Bimei Matis Yo Ben Yochanan, Kohen Gadol, Chashmonai Vonov. So again, the way we're supposed to think of this is you have a Kohen Gadol and his sons. Meaning, obviously his sons were fighting the war, but the power over here was the Kohen Gadol. Imagine a war that was waged not by a regular king, but by a Kohen Gadol. And this is actually historically something fascinating. Normally, who are the kings in Klal Yisrael's history? David HaMelech, Shevet Yehuda, correct. This is a very strange period in history. The kings in the time of the Chashmonaim were the Kohanim. And this is a problematic point. The Ramban deals with this, other Mephorshim, and they were even punished for this. And it's a little bit of a something that needs to be understood. But at the end of the day, the one who was running the show, it was the Kohen Gadol. In fact, I have a coin. My brother Yehuda, my older brother, he loves antiquities, and he took me to a guy who, like, when you know the Gana Pamon, what do they call it? Liberty Bell Park? So they were digging it up, and many years ago, and the dirt over there was very valuable dirt. And this guy and his friend bought the dirt. They bought truckloads of dirt without, like, getting into the whole, antiquities department of the country. They sifted through it. They found all sorts of goodies. And I have a coin from the time of the Chashmonaim. And over there is the insignia of Yonasan Kohen Gadol, which is unbelievable to have that type of history in your pocket. One year I brought it in for a schmooze for effect. Maybe I'll bring it in again just for effect. And why is it that the Kohen Gadol was on there? Because that was the kingdom. It's an amazing type of kingdom run by the Chashmonaim. So it was Yemei Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chashmonaim Uvanov, Kohen Gadol and sons, right? We know some of the famous Yehuda HaMakabi, Kisha Amda Malchus Yavan Arishal Amchi Yisrael, Lashkicham Torasecha. This was not a political war. This was a war against Torah. That's how you're supposed to, regardless of what it says in books, it was a war against Torah. Lashkicham Torasecha, first of all, to get us to forget our learning. And the second one, Lavira Mechuki Ritzanecha, to get us away from mitzvos. Very strange. Two things. One is to forget Torah, and the other is to stop doing mitzvos. Aren't these the same thing, essentially? Isn't the Torah and the mitzvos the same? No. They knew that the heartbeat of Klal Yisrael is learning. And it's not enough to just get them to stop doing mitzvos. If there are Batei Medrash and the boys are steiging, even if you stop them from doing Milah and Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, but if they're learning Torah, they're alive. And their first agenda they knew was to wipe out the memory of Torah. No story of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, no story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, no learning about the mitzvahs, everything. It's a separate agenda. Perhaps it's the strongest agenda. If a Yid has Torah, the Medrash in Eicha Rabba says, Halavai oisi azvu. Halavai they would leave me, but they would keep my Torah. Meaning, but they would learn my Torah, not keep my Torah. Halavai oisi azvu, they'd abandon me, but learn my Torah. Shema or sheba machzira lemutav. The light in the Torah would bring everyone back. So that if someone has a real agenda to systematically wipe out the memory of Yiddishkeit, the first thing they have to do is to get us to forget the Torah. That's one. Then, lahavira mechuke ritzonecha. Notice the beautiful language over here. The word chukim. Normally, what's a chok, my friends?
Not understood.
Thanks, Gershi, you're on fire today. I think you're like a plant in the crowd. A chok is normally not understood. Can I ask you a question? They wanted to remove all mitzvos. Why are we calling all the mitzvos here chukim ritzonecha? Mitzvos that are not understood. What's being highlighted over here is Yavan was an intellectual group of people who prided themselves on rationalism. Rationalism means things that you can understand. So what's the sensitivity over here? We have things that Hashem gave us that are bigger than our brain. We can't understand them. They're chukei ritzonecha. They're the ratzon of Hashem. Ratzon Hashem is above our brain. So in essence, the whole Torah could be called chukei ritzonecha. Even the things that we think are logical, we don't really understand them. For example, if someone steals, right? And then they do they shech the animal. They pay dalad vehei, four times or five times the price. Do you know exactly why four or five times? We don't know. We understand the concept, but we don't understand exactly those things. Every mitzvah has an element of chukei ritzonecha. What's this, Glazer? What's the schedule today? The Rashiva speaking now, or fine? So we're just gonna quickly go through, literally read through what we're doing here. Here we highlighted this in the Shmuz that the diktuk over here is what Hashem does for us. Ravtas Rivam, Dantas Dinam, Nakantas Masam, Hashem interceded for us. Masarta, Giborim Biyad Chalashim, strong people in the hands of weak. Now, if you have a million weak people against a bunch of burly strong people, the weak people could still win. So that's not enough. So, we were weak, but maybe we were more. No, Rabim Biyad Ma'atim, we were weak Yeshiva Bachrim, and we were very few. That's a double whammy. Okay. Once you see that, then you understand that it's Hashem involved, and now it becomes a religious issue. Tzmeim biyad tahorim. The Greeks were into tumah. We were tahor. Rishayim biyad tzadikim. Zaydim biyad oskei soresecha. Notice how the fight here is about people who learn Torah. It's not about talmidei chachamim. It's not about people who are gedolei hador. If you learn Torah, you're part of this fight, which is beautiful. A yid is chashev because he learns Torah, not because he knows everything, not because he's the gadol hador, but simply because he's osek ba'Torah. Hashem revealed himself through the nes. Now all of these yavanim with their intellectual rationalism are shut down. Why? Because there were miracles. The war was a miracle. What else was a miracle? The Chanukah licht. And that's how Hashem made his name gadol and kadosh in the world. You saved your nation. Va'acharkein, what we do in response? The children came of Hashem. We explained in the Shmuz, banim laHashem. We're close to Him. Lidvir be'secha. They came to your house, Hashem. Now the diktuk changes. Hashem did for us. Now we do for Him. We go into your house, Hashem. We clean up the heichal from avodah zarah. We're metahir what those tumatika yavanim tried to be metame. Tiras Mikdashecha, Hidliku Neiris Bechatzis Kadshecha. This is either going on the Neiris Chanukah, Hidliku Neiris Bechatzis Kadshecha, or it's just the very imagery of like turning on the lights. You know, when you have this place that like it was falling apart, there was Tumah there and Avodah Zarah. So if you want to like clear it out, clean it up, and you get a new lighting system and you make it bright. I think both are true. Hidliku Neiris Bechatzis Kadshecha is it became lichtig. It became filled with light. We lit up the place. And we set up the days of Chanukah. Why are we writing that we were Koveya this Yontif? In the Alan Nisim for Purim, do we write that we were Koveya the Yontif? No. Well, the obvious answer is that the Megillah, it says it in the Megillah, but there's a deeper point here. It's not just in the Megillah that Mordechai and Esther established Purim, and here the Chacham did. No, this is part of the Hodah. Part of what we did for Hashem is we cleaned up his Beis HaMikdash, right? And we set up a Yontif called Chanukah, that forever we're going to constantly be Modeh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everyone should be able to be Mekayim, Yimei Halul, the Hodah, to have a more meaningful Hodah through our Alanis.